We're still on 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, but we're talking about temptation and testing and all that kind of stuff.
There's only two places I want to go, so hopefully we'll be able to go this morning. So let's first go to Romans 5.
This whole thing is about Abraham as really the perfect Christian. He's our father of faith. And so he's talking about him, and then it says verse 19. And being not weak in faith.
5:19.
No, 4:19. Let's talk about Abraham. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, you all know the story. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, who was raised again for our justification. So, the model of faith is really there was no possibility for Abraham and Sarah to have a child. But God is looking back in faith. He did all kinds of stuff. He first thought that Eliezer, his servant, was going to be the inheritor of the promise. And then he found out that wasn't true, so he went in the tent with, what's her name?
Hagar.
And had a child. And thought that was, so I mean, he staggered not in unbelief. He did. He did all kinds of things. He got to the end, as we were talking the other day. He did everything that was in front of him to do until he found out it was impossible to complete the action that was promised. Therefore, he was poor. Paktos. You see what I'm saying?
Well, so he, in the end, it says he staggered not, but in the way, staggered all over the place.
Yeah, just a second. Again, if we were writing the New Testament, or the Testament about Dallas, we would say, and here he was called out of the Aquarian Gospel, and he staggered not in unbelief, but believed totally. Now, that should be comforting to Gary. Because you screwed up 60 billion times and leaned on your own understanding and had sweet thoughts, and it all had to go. It all had to be that way until you could reach a point where there was no possibility of you completing whatever it was that you thought it was promised.
I think the key word here is, you think stagger means away from faith. Because I look back and faith has always been there, it just wasn't expressed.
No.
But staggering around trying to find where
return.
Well, it's real.
Yeah,
it was staggered.
He staggered.
Yeah, you could say he staggered.
Right.
He tried every weird thing, seeking for that real thing.
Right. So he staggered. You staggered.
We call it, yeah, I don't mind saying I staggered. Okay. It's just, all right. It's understanding.
All right. But it says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. He leaned on his own arm of understanding 100 times. So he wasn't strong in faith. God sees the finish. That's the point. Okay, now, therefore, being justified by faith, chapter 5, verse 1, we have now peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, remember, it doesn't say that we have peace sometimes. The tense of this is that we are continually and always at perfect peace. Now, that's the truth. Because it's speaking to that life in you, which is Christ. But my God, you go 15, you go every place else but peace. Until you see the rest of this, okay? By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. That's the kicker. That's what everything we've talked about for the last few days. If you don't glory in tribulation, then the tempter will be able to tempt you away from the mystery. Now, to glory in tribulation sounds like you're psychotic. Because that's just not what the mind can do. But somehow, again, when you have reached this state of poverty, paktos, not being able to complete a thing, then you come to this understanding of what we're going to go through here, because tribulation is doing something important. It says, we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, abiding without complaint.
Back to this one.
What?
We're still going to line up on the verse 3.
Chapter tribulation 5, now verse 3. Okay. Work with patience. Patience, steadfast, you wait instead of taking action. And tribulation. Knowing tribulation work with patience, and patience experience. Now, what does that mean? Tribulation work with patience, and patience work with experience.
By waiting, you see.
And what is, so what is experience?
Experience is you see God, you see His work.
Right, and you see, because it's happened time and time again in our life, we know that if there's something that's going on that we don't like, it's always working for our benefit. Not our benefit as we understand it, but our benefit in God's perspective. So that we can homologia, so we can confess the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we can see, because we see the same thing, we've heard the same thing, now we've seen the same thing. So that experience is what anchors us. So we are never in a position where we say, you know, we see the vanity of all things. Patience, experience, and experience hope. We've talked about so often. Hope is used exclusively for the resurrection of Christ in you. So this then, because experience causes you to see Him, But now, the fruit of that is hope, which is see. Now he's there. You know that's what's going on. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So, this then is the penultimate purpose of what we think of the tempter, of what Satan is doing, of tribulation, of things happening that we don't like, of all the, of everything. This is what will cause you to believe, not just to believe in hope, but to believe in surety. There's no more, you're no more children going up and down and up and down and up and down. There's a steadfast endurance. Okay? And that's what he wants from us. That's then, tribulation has done its work. Now the word that for that completion of that process is perfect. We've always been perfected by one offering, but we had to find out that that was true in us. And so perfect is the word teleos, and it means fully tested. Time and space has done its work. It's everything. You've tried everything, you've done everything, if you haven't done it, you've thought about it, and you find out there's no there there. There's no there there. There's no going in that direction. There's no going in that direction. That. So you finally just say, faith, I'm yours without condition. Throw me in the pits of hell and I'll love you anyway. Amen? So that's the purpose of the tempter. See, he's trying everything he can. He's tempting you to get you off this place. It's to lean back on your own arm of understanding. To twist the mystery of God just slightly.
It's like you're coming into focus. We call it a mystery all the time because I understand how Christ knows us and Christ, how that operates. But then as it comes together, this patience and tribulation, we are in tune, and that's the Latin rain. We hear clearly that we go through all this.
The early rain, the word for early rain, is teacher of righteousness. The word for lateral rain, clarity of a perfectly cast spell, so you will not follow another, heard his voice. Clarity of that bell. So then, now all that has gone through, then you, the judgment has first begun in the house of God, the temple of God, in you. Now the seventh angel can stand and say the mystery of God is completed in this vessel. Time shall be no more. Amen. All right, now let's go to James. What? Some other. Sue? Okay. James. Chapter 1.
The right. I don't think I can.
By there, James chapter 1. My brethren, let's start in verse 2. My brethren, counteth all joy, but it says all there should be highest. It's counteth the highest joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Diverse, squeezing, philispus. Again, you got to hear We are so attuned to hear the word temptation as a desire to just step on that telephone, cell phone. We every time we see tempt in the Bible, our mindset automatically goes to the meaning that we're tempting to do evil. Satan isn't tempting us to do evil, because we will do evil. There's no need to tempt us. Satan is trying to tempt you by changing your point of view from God to man. Same as the temptation of Christ. If you don't know what that means, I promise you, you will. All right. My brethren, count it all highest joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying or testing of your faith worketh patience. Again, the same thing as earlier. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Now, if any of you lack wisdom, i.e. what we just said, because that wisdom there is the opposite of the world's wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We're not talking about, we're going to get wisdom to do this or that. We're talking about wisdom for what that previous sentence was about. Wisdom is counted the highest joy when you fall into diverse testings.
Something I saw there about counting is like reckoning.
Right, it is what the word is.
Because you're not going to change your feelings.
No, logizomai means it's the counting term. You count it as a complete thing. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Again, we're talking about count of the highest joy. You can't forget that's a predicate of everything that's been said here. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So that completes that thought. And the problem with this is that it has verses and numbers and stuff. Because if it was written as it was, if we could read it as it was written, it would be, that would be a thought process. And there would be a paragraph. You understand? It's all about, I've heard these scriptures used for everything in the universe, right? But this is talking about your response to the testing. All right. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And what is a double-minded man? The one that goes up and down all the time. Because you've got 1 foot in eternity and 1 foot in time and space. He's unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth. The grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall a rich man fade away in his ways. And if you happen to be rich, it's meaningless. If you're poor, you've got to see that you are already at the top of the food chain. So the end result of this testing is that you want nothing. You've returned to that place where you've lost the capacity to think that the condition you're in should be different than it is in all things. Amen? What? You're doing
well,
it again,
God,
Gary.
Losing the capacity is not that you rearranged your mind, but you've lost the capacity.
You've rearranged your mind because you've seen the vanity of all things.
It's like not a way of thinking, it's just the old has wore out. It doesn't. It's not how it works.
Right. And so you don't play tiddlywinks anymore. Yeah. You don't play with dolls or whatever it is you did as a small child. Huh? Well, I'm talking about this. I was talking about Tinker Toys. I had the Lincoln Logs. Wherever I was in the kitchen, wherever I was in somebody else's house, I'd always rearrange some chairs and put something over it so I'd make a little cave and nothing has changed. Still want to go to that whole thing. All right. Blessed, verse 12. Blessed. What does blessed mean? This is the word Makarios. It doesn't mean all your good things and all everything and blah, blah, blah. It means you're not subject to the fates. You're not subject to the vagaries of life. Whether or not you win the lottery or lose the lottery. Whether or not anything that happens in time and space. You're not subject to it because your heart and mind are centered in only God on the mercy seat. You're not bothered by the future. You're not tormented by the past. You're on the mercy seat. You're always in the eternal now. So that's what that word blessed means. In Hebrew, it's Barak. In Greek, it's Makarios. Not subject to the vagaries of life. Anything. All right. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. But let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God is not tempting anybody. But then what is going on? But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Lust simply means wanting something to be different than it is. The moment you want, your want has taken you off the mercy seat, unless it's confessed to sin. But I just want what the Bible says. Well, you don't want that filtered through all your idolatry. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so that's, I don't want to bring forth death. That's what you want to bring forth. So this...
You want it finished.
You want it finished. If you can't finish it by the empathy of someone else's experience, then you've got to go do it. Until there's no more wants. The purpose of God isn't to fulfill your wants. The purpose of God is to cause you to see what really is going on. It has nothing to do with what man thinks it is. This is an evil of the prosperity gospel, because the prosperity gospel teaches you that you how to get what you want. You want more. I don't want gold in heaven and streets of gold. I want the gold now.
Well, that's just heresy from the pits of hell. But it has to do with everything. Coming back to that point, I'm no longer at any moment that you're in is of God. It's perfect as it is. If your mind doesn't see that, then you say, Father, forgive me. If you can't and mean it, then you have to go do what you want. Now, this is dangerous. But it's the only way. You have to. In order to, that's what will cause your voices in your head to stop. They'll be shut up because you see futility. So the tempter has lost his purpose. He will have no interest in you, just as he had no interest in Christ. So that's why we go into tribulation. So that you cannot be tempted. Back to the 21st Psalm. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, but I want my wife to do this. Or I want my husband to do that. Or I want this to happen. Or I want that to happen. The wants are endless. The only reason I had like money before was so I could do. I thought money was freedom. I could do anything I wanted to. Most of what I wanted to do was sex. I had that as a fruit. Huh?
Money paves the way.
No, money said if I could meet a girl, I said, you want to go to Paris. But every man is drawn away. His own lust. Enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Well, I'm not telling you to go sin. I'm telling you to be done with it by seeing the emptiness of it. Because if you just teach what normally is taught about this, you'll just be a muzzled dog. Your mind can never, ever, ever stop wanting until you reach the point where you see the emptiness of it. Yeah. And the tempter will have no interest in it. Your mind has nothing to do. Overcome the evil one. Joy, nothing. Everybody understand? Any expansions, Mr. Sound?
This is a great battlefield. This is addressing the war as it is.
Right, it has nothing to do with what's going on. Iran or Iraq, this or that, or liberals. Yes, if it was that, then we'd have to kill Sue.
Kill me, no more desserts.
Now, this is freedom. This is where you see the glorious liberty and live in it. The sons of God. Amen. I stopped on time. Take a big guy.
Oh, that's Jeff.
Jeff. That's Heffy. You already got it, right?
Send mail right here.
Oh, I did the Bible study.
He said he was going to leave at 7:30. I think he overslept.